May we can stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here this morning and we're excited from the things we've heard this morning already. We're thankful in our hearts, Lord, to be here. We're thankful for the words that have life in them. And we just thank you, Father, again for this opportunity to hear the Word of God, to hear you speak to us. We pray that our hearts can be tender. Pray that we can receive the Word with meekness, that it can grow in our hearts, that we can be changed more into your image. So Father, I just want to pray for Mark. I pray you'd bless him, give him courage, give him strength. Father, I pray that he'd be sensitive to your spirit up here as he shares, and that you would just open his mouth and let him share the things that you laid on his heart. He has a message for us from you, and I pray that you would just work in his heart as he shares. So Father, I pray that you would just also pray against the powers of darkness that want to hinder, that want to distract, and that want to pull from hearing the truth. The many powers that be around us, Father, I pray that this hour that you would push back against the darkness and the evil spirits that want to hinder. So Father, I pray for Mark that you would just bless him, and pray that we can have our ears open and we can receive with joyfulness what you have today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes. I just greet you all in Jesus' name this morning as well. God bless you. We're here for one reason. We came here not for one another, as we heard, but for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why we gathered here this morning, for to worship Him, the King, the one that resurrected us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock. And we're here, maybe some are here this morning, to find their way to Him. Many different reasons, but it all points back to Jesus. We are here because of Him. Yeah, I also want to thank the young men and women for sharing and singing here this morning, sharing your testimonies. And I see fruits of the Spirit working out through your lives. I want to thank you, young men. As we heard, as Brother Stephen shared, it's the future church, is the future generation. So that's exciting. It is exciting to see and to hear them come up and express their work of God done in their lives this week. That's exciting, because if that stops, so does the church, right? It'll die. If the young men and women, if they become excited about other things in their life, and they push out God, it'll stop. So it's just good. The Bible school is good for them to go and spend a week down there and to learn of God and hear of God and just be encouraged and work through some things that they're struggling with, whatever. It was always good for me as well with the men's seminar. Just take a week and set it aside and learn. God uses that in a mighty way. So allow God to have his way. As Solly preached the message there Friday night, I was inspired by that as well. Lord, let thy will be done. That's where it begins. Lord, what do you want to do with me? Lord, how can I further worship you in a deeper way? Lord, how can I grow deeper? So, as I look up here, and it's the future church, it's the future elders and deacons, future members. There are members, many already. So continue on, young men and women. Fight the good fight of faith. As we see the world around us pressing in, there's much that the world wants to offer our young men. They want to distract. Don't get distracted. Continue on. That's with all of us as well, as adults, fathers. Some of us have a few more years to live than others, where some of us are older. But we die by age, yeah, if we go that way. But we're not promised tomorrow, so let's continue on. Let's endure. As Jesus says, he that endureth until the end, right, shall be saved. It's not here. It doesn't stop here. Even though you're at a good place, we're at a good place, but we need to continue on. So thank you for that. So this morning here, as I ponder on the message here, what I could share, it's going to be a message more so just a challenge us in some areas and just encourage us in some areas and to press on. I'd like to speak a little bit this morning on the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. And I know that I will not cover everything on that topic. It's a deep topic. And so I'm just going to stay to the elementary or fundamental parts of that area here and just stay near the scriptures and just encourage us on. It's just on. I want to share a little bit on the present. Or before I was born again, a little bit, then the present, and then to maintain as I go through this. Before, I was without the Holy Spirit for 30 years of my life. There was much fear, much pain, much affliction. Then I just want to share a little bit on the present day walking with God. Am I allowing the Holy Spirit in my life to maneuver me? Or am I trying to cheat the Holy Spirit on things in my life to so I can benefit myself on things of this life? Then just to maintaining the continuing walk with God to the end, as I share a little bit on that. But before I begin, I just want to lay a little something here. And as I share this here, I would like to. If some of you noticed throughout the last week, or maybe 2 weeks, I knew that Steve asked me 2 weeks ago if I would share today. I think it was 2 weeks. As I was asking some of you throughout these 2 weeks, in the Old Testament, I'm going to touch a little bit on that. Okay, the Spirit of God led them, right? They had the Spirit. Did they experience a born-again experience? Did they have the temple of God within them? Some of the questions I'm asking. Like today, we can say, know you not that the temple of God lives within me? Know you not that, I mean, we have the power. We have Jesus within us today speaking. Was God, I mean, they had a spirit. Was it Jesus inside as I say that, because I ponder on Jesus says when he was down here and he died and he resurrected, and he said, I must go so the Comforter can come. Right? That's what he said. I must go so the Comforter can come. Did they have the Comforter? Did they have the Holy Spirit dwelling within? Was it an indwelling spirit within them? Or was it God audibly voice? Or did they just know God through the readings of the writings and all that? So if I say some of these things wrong, I stand to be corrected here. But the difference I want to make here as I go through this, talk a little bit about this, is some of the old prophets that we know were inspiring men. As I think of Joseph, he was a type of Christ. I think of David, he was a man after God's own heart. How they overcame the things that Satan threw their way, or the devil, the world, whatever it was. How they overcame. And just what I want to share on, how much more today can we allow or to overcome and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us as we know that we have the temple, the living God dwelling within. So I just want to go and touch a little bit on that so like I said, it won't be anything new. Just to encourage us here. So as I see, it wasn't like the permanent universal indwelling experience by believers until after the Pentecost, it seems like, of the New Testament. Oftentimes God came by the burning bush or a whirlwind or an audible voice to speak to his people. So who or what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you think about that. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Christianity, it's understood as God's divine personal presence and active power in the world and believers' lives. Acting as a comforter, a helper, a teacher, and a guide. guiding them into all truth, empowering them to live righteously. He is a co-equal and a co-eternal with God the Father and the Christ. The Holy Spirit is co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Possessing a mind, that's interesting. The Holy Spirit possessing a mind, a will, emotions, and is involved in creation, inspiration, and salvation. So as I read through this and pondered that, the Holy Spirit is co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and Jesus Christ, possessing a mind, a will, has emotions, and is involved in creation, and is part of salvation. So as we go through here, just mind that. I'm going to read that a time or so as we go through. So just laying a little groundwork here before I begin here in the point here. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. Verses 1 to 8. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some elders, epistles in condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, as for as much as you are manifested, declared to be epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through the Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of the death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious. So look at that verse there. But if the ministration of the death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly before the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be glorious? Be rather glorious. So just touching on that a little bit here as we go forth. As Paul says there in verse 6 there, serving under the new covenant through the Holy Spirit brings life, freedom, and transformation. While rigidly following the old covenant, letter of the law, or any religious system without heart change leads to a condemnation and death because it exposes sin without providing the power to overcome it. So part of my message is, why are we doing things today for it? We heard the messages through these young men and women. I was inspired just by listening to them, the singing, and their testimonies, where that would have been enough for me today just to go home encouraged today. So my question here is, why are we doing the things that we're doing? Is it because you fill in the blanks? As you notice, I'm going to say we in this here, including myself. Why do we do the things we do? Is it because we heard someone, just so we can go to heaven? We don't want to go to hell because we don't want to go to hell, okay? Or is it because we are in love with God? Is it because we want to see the kingdom prosper here? We have a burden for other souls around us. Is the Holy Spirit alive? It says that the leads to condemnation and death because it exposes sin without providing the power to overcome. Which Paul contrasted the Old Testament law, the letter, with the New Testament spiritual life, emphasizing that the Spirit enables true righteousness and like mere rule keeping with highlights from human ability. Now, I'm not calling the law just not effective. God used the law to bring people into repentance and all that. And I'm not saying that. But verse 6 there, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So that is my encouragement as we go through, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to maneuver in our lives in a way that it brings much honor and glory. We can hinder, We can hinder the Holy Spirit work in our lives by not being truly honest or not be true and willing. As Sally said there in the message Friday night, "Thy Lord, thy will be done." Can we find ourselves there? Can we find ourselves at a place where we can say, "God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. God, wherever you want me to say, I'll say." Can we honestly say that? We sang that song, and I talked about that before. Just being honest to the Holy Spirit, and we think, okay, we're all born. Most of us in here experience salvation, so we experience the work of God in our lives. But I believe that we can hinder the Spirit as we're Christians and walking forward in this life. But God forbid. So just my encouragement that we would continue on. So we see there in verses 11 and 18 there, in Corinthians 3, it says, "For if that which is done away with glorious, much more than which remaineth is glorious, seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for even till this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. And nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we, with all open faces, beholding the glass of the glory of the Lord, we change, same image, from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." So I see the letter here similar. I just want to make a little point here as how the letter can be, and even in our lives today, as I talked about, why are we doing certain things? Is it just because the Word says it, which is a good thing, but it goes deeper than that. So a little similar in my early experience in my life, way back when God started working in my life, which I think I might have shared this with many as well here, I was convicted of my sins, but I had no idea what to do with them. I knew that the Word, like I said, the letter did, this is what the letter did. It pointed out my sins. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, it goes on and on. And I seen, it talks about a drunkard, and I was a drunkard, and I stole, and I lied, and all that. So it did point me the right way. But in my life, as I was known, I was a sinner, but I didn't know what to do. So I went to the letter. This is what I did. And I'm not condemning where I was at. I appreciate many of those people. I went more so to the Ruas, where the church where I was at. There, I went to the Ruas, and I thought if I would just submit unto the church their ordinances, that it would surely that would have to do with it. So yes, I got a hat with a bigger rim, and I let my beard grow out, and I got rid of my TV, which that was a good thing, and my radio, my driver's license, and I threw all that stuff away. So because I knew the church had an issue with that. So I did that, and thinking that, okay, I'm going to be a different person. But there was no power. There was no victory in my life. I could not overcome. It was still a stale life, where no victory in anything. And I did tell God sorry for my sins, but I didn't have anybody teach me more perfectly on how to receive the Holy Spirit, how to receive Jesus, or to do with that. I was like Paul there, in Romans 7 there. That was me. The things that I didn't want to do, I did. Things I did want to do, what I should do, I didn't. Let me just read a few of those there. Starting in verse 14 in Romans 7. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For which I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." It seemed familiar. Without the Holy Spirit, without just allowing the Holy Spirit. This was before conversion, I understand. "Now then is no more that I dwelleth in me, but the sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will it present with me, but how to perform that which is good, that I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." So we see that as a much pain, sorrow, and it was difficult. It was death. So I remember the day I bowed my heart. That was my present time. So now I remember the day I bowed my heart to it. And actually, it took a few days of me meeting with God alone, when I asked the Holy Spirit to come in, and Jesus came. I remember that day of that the presence of Jesus coming and overpowering me in such a way that I couldn't explain it. And I remember that day I promised the Lord, "Don't ever leave me. I will go where you want me to go, and I will say what you want me to say." For only finding out for a short time after my Christian walk, and I think I shared this with Steve or some of them before, is when I was ordained as a deacon in 2012, I found myself not being honest with God there. There were some things in my life that was a little stale, because when I got ordained as a deacon, I rejected it in my heart for 6 months. I was fine just where I was. What I was doing, I was busy. We were doing many other different things, but I remember one day. Steve probably noticed that if I made it to the meeting, I came on a Tuesday meeting. If I didn't, it was fine with me as well. But I remember one day as we were singing that song, and that little small voice in me said, "Mark, you're a liar." Basically, he called me a liar. So today, that's what I'm saying. If we have that small still voice today within us, lust not hinder the work that God wants to do in us. And he just said, you said that you'll go where you want me to go and do what you want me to do and say what you want me to say. But you said you're rejecting the calling that I had for you. So that was one time I had to repent. But in my Christian life, as I go on, there are many times as a Christian I need to repent. I had to do it just recently. Get on my knees and cry out to God. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that rejecting the Spirit of God in our lives, it's not an easy life. It's painful. It's miserable. So as you see my encouragement as I go through here, let's embrace the Word of God. Let's embrace when God speaks. Let's not reject the Word by any way. Because he says, I promise, I'll bless you. As it says there in Ezekiel 36, he says, "A new heart will I give you, a new spirit I'll put within you. I'll take away the old heart, the stony heart out of your flesh. I will put a heart of flesh in you. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." So let's continue on. Let's be honest with God. Let's be honest when the Spirit speaks, that little small voice. Like I said, I don't know what for spirit they had in the Old Testament, but many of them, did they have that little still small voice? The question that I didn't get when I asked several brothers here this past few weeks. There was a spirit that spoke. Was it through just audible voices, or was it just through when they read the Word? But today, let's not hinder the work that God wants for us. So just to get a little more practical here from here on out. So most of us in here, as I shared, would claim to receive the Holy Spirit. Are we connecting with God today on a daily basis? As I said, we were. Are we finding victory over our sins? Whatever it may be, anger, pride, selfishness, or et cetera, whatever it may be. Is it like a ground? Or are we like when a ground wire that is not connected correctly? I know that sometimes when you hook up a wire and the ground wire comes connected, or the neutral wire there, you can go up to it and take a little electric tester and it'll show faint power. Are we connected today? Are we connected with the Word of God? Or are we grounded? I should say, are we grounded? Or is there a disconnection? I trust they're not. But we can be, and maybe not realize at times that we're maybe refusing the true work of the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do in our lives. Then I said a little more practical. Are we spending more times on our phone than we are in prayer? Are we spending more times on our phone than reading the Word of God? These right here are some serious questions that we can ask. And they are some questions that will tell us if we're grounded or if we're just grinding by. I'm telling you, in our lives, it will show. It will show where we're at spiritually. And brothers, I see a need in my life in that. I shared with my family last night, Jaden and Loretta there. As I see that there's times I spent too much time just reading the news, and I shared that with Conrad as well. Is it edifying? Yes, it's good to know what's going on around us. As we look at all the wars that are happening, and the wars that are looks like this beginning, and oh yes, it looks like it could be the time of the end coming. It's okay to know those times, but if we spent more time in that than with the Word of God or with praying, we're gonna become stale. There's gonna be a disconnect. There's gonna be a disconnecting in our lives, in our spiritual life with God. Because John 4, it says, "Greater is He that is in you than one that's in this world." We can be overcomers if we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And again, I'm going to read this. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in Christianity. Understood of God's divine personal presence and active power in the world and in the believer's eyes. It's acting as a comforter, a helper, a teacher, and a guide, guiding them into all truth and empowering them to live righteously. He is a co-equal and a co-eternal with God the Father and Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is possessing a mind, a will, and emotions, and involved in creation, inspiration, and salvation. Let's not hinder the work that God has for us by rejecting or by walking away from the truth. We can limit ourselves at times with our selfishness and ambitions from allowing the true work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And God forbid, may we allow the Holy Spirit to maneuver in our life. And as I was talking about the Old Testament there, how the Spirit spoke with them, I don't know. But as I took a life of Joseph here in 39, Genesis 39, at the age somewhere between 17 and 29, and we know there what Joseph did there when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. What did he do? We know that he ran. Why did he run? We know that he had the fear of God. It says that Joseph refused to sleep with Potiphar's wife primarily because it would be a great sin against God and a profound betrayal of his master. Potiphar, who had shown an immense trust and given him authority in his household, as explained in Genesis 39, his decision stemmed from his deep fear of God and commitment to righteousness, even when tempted by lust and the possibility of a personal gain. And I'm inspired by that. Joseph, yes, he was a type of Christ. How much more today, as we have that the Holy Spirit working through us, we have that little small voice, no, don't do that. No, don't go there. Why did not Joseph yield to her? Was it because of the letter of the law, or was it with the Holy Spirit speaking there? So, like I said, some of those questions there, I still have how that worked out there. I know that there was a spirit there, because it says, why did he do that? Joseph had the fear of God. He viewed adultery as a serious offense against God, as noted in Genesis 39, where it states, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? He knew God. And that is where we can allow the Holy Spirit to work perfectly in our lives if we know God. We need to know God in an intimate way, as we heard today these young men sharing all those. He was loyal to Potiphar. He recognized Potiphar's immense trust in him, having placed everything in his care, making the act of a grave breach of that trust, according to Genesis 39. And morally integrity, Joseph consistently prioritized his moral principles over temptation, demonstrating his commitment to God's law, even in a foreign land. So as I read that of Joseph, it did answer some of my questions. Yeah, it seemed like there was the Spirit of God within him. But today, I want to encourage us that Spirit of God, as Jesus says, I must go so the Comforter can come. Let's not hinder that work, what God wants to do in that. The power that overcomes, we can see in our lives, it lines up with the Word of God. It lines up with the Word. It cannot be contrary to the Word. and line up with the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 2 there it says, 2 Corinthians 4, sorry. Therefore it says, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully. It says, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience to the sight of God. And it says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, who shine through them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves yourselves for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's through the Holy Spirit of God, as Jesus says, I must go. So we see here, when our lives line up with the Word of God, is when God gives us power to overcome anything that Satan puts in our path. So we need, yeah, it says here that, I'm going to read here in 2 Corinthians 6 a little bit here. Oh, you Corinthians, our mornings, sorry, my pages are folded here. I was going to get my new Bible out today, but I didn't feel confident of that. It seemed like I'm more familiar here with this old one, but I need to replace it. Oh, our Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened to us, but ye are straitened to your own bowels. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak. As unto my children, be ye enlarged. Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what believers hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them, saith, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The promises of God. That if we allow this temple to be cleansed of earthly pleasures or earthly things and allow God to reign in our life, he promises that he said, I will come and I will dwell within you. I will be your God and you will be my sons. Beautiful promises, right? But we need to be honest with God. It says in James 4, it says, we cannot be a friend of this world and expect to be the fullness of God. I'll just read that. As it talks about being a friend of this world is enmity with God. James 4. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth in envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. And I know that we've done that. I'm not talking to a bunch of sinners here. I know that. But my message is here is just keeping room to God to maneuver completely in our lives. So James talks about fleeing worldly lusts and turn from it. If not, this is how it works. If we continue if we continue to engage in little sinful activities or we're rubbing with the things of this world, James says, flee, run. If you become a friend of this world, you'll become you're an enemy of God. And another little illustration, several years ago, probably, this is probably 15 years ago, I went down and helped Aiden one day. He came down and wanted us to help him change out some slats in the pig pen. So me and my Spanish helper went down there, and we were there, and we walked in. And as we were there, the smell was terrible. So we went back out and we looked at each other and we said, "How are we gonna do this?" And especially him, I had to force him to go in there. He was a Spanish guy and he wasn't used to the smell of the rank of the pigs. But as we went in, we worked a while and we went out, got some fresh air. Then we went out again. We did that and pretty soon. We were in there, and we didn't mind it anymore. All of a sudden, the smell just sort of stopped. As we worked there, we worked in there for 6 hours, and I remember getting in the van and heading home. My Spanish guy, he went like this here, and he said, "I don't smell anything." He said, "I don't even stink," which I knew that our noses were immune. We were immune to that smell. So I found out later. When he got home, his wife wouldn't even leave him in the house. So, but my point what I'm making is that is how we become entangled in the ways of this world, and we don't even know it if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to maneuver and to direct. As we said, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us in all truth. It is to convict us. It is to say that, no, Mark, you don't want to do that, or no, brother, you can't, don't do that. If we continue giving heed to that, he'll direct us into that beautiful place where we can hear the words, "Well done, faithful servant." So just to, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to finish up here. to maintain our relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, to keep the Holy Spirit in our life, to appear honest, just, and to allow it to maneuver in our life, we need to know our purpose in this life. We need to know, as we heard some of these young men share, what is the purpose? Why did God call you out of that darkness? Why did he set you in these pews? Why did he enter into you? Is it just because you can go to heaven? Which is a beautiful thing, yeah, but it's far more than that. So to maintain our relationship with Jesus, to maintain our honest heart with God, we need to know the purpose in this life. Why did God save us? How does he want to use us? God has a purpose plan for our lives if we allow the Holy Spirit to work through him. As it says there in Romans 8, therefore there is no more condemnation to them which walk that are in Christ Jesus, who walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law and the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law and sin and death. For what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh for sin, condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It's a good gauge there. We don't have to fool ourselves. If we desire the things of the flesh more than the things of the Spirit, we are of the flesh. I said we. And I see needs in my life. The Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If we enjoy the things of the Spirit, then it says we are the things of the Spirit. We are the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity with God. A carnal mind is enmity with God. And we heard some illustrations last week, what the definition of carnal. For it is not a subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not of the flesh, brothers. But we're not of the flesh, but we're of the Spirit, right? If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I can go on reading, there's many. I'll just read one more. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's what gives us the victory, the Holy Spirit, the one that Christ he raised from the dead. It's that Holy Spirit, that one that has emotions and it has a mind, that little small voice. Ephesians 1, a few verses here. In whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. He talked about knowing the will of God. He made that, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both are in heaven, which are in earth, and in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be in the praise of his glory, who first trusted in God, in Christ. In whom we also trusted after that ye heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, as I was going to share here earlier, just because we stumble doesn't mean that God leaves. But what I'm saying is it'll hinder our spiritual walk, and also it hinders the fullness of what God wants to do in our life. That's another thing I'm talking about. We want to be surrendered into his will to the fullness, right? That is all our heart. But yet in my life, I see myself hindering God to work the fullness in my life because of my selfish ambitions at time. I think I got too much written down here, so I'm going to choose here to try to bring this to a close. A few more verses here in 2 Corinthians 4. Living by faith. It says, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. That is with the Holy Spirit. We know that that there's times in this life we get discouraged, or we get distressed, or we get weary. But here, if we continue walking and allowing the Spirit of God, this is what Paul is saying here. We are troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not cast down. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal life. So then the death worketh in us, but life in you. Let's be, as I was pondering that, allowing the work of God to continue to work in our lives and to the fullness. I think of that Gateway Geyser there in St. Louis. There's a fountain there that shoots water somewhere in about 600 and some feet in the air. It's a water of with force that is pushing this water high in the air. And I want to say, there's no chance of us going down to that base when that is flowing out like that and putting any kind of poison in that water. It's not possible with the force of that shooting that so far in the air. With that water gushing out, we can't get down to the base and put anything down with that pipe that's shooting the water out, or to change the water flow of Niagara Falls. There's nothing a man can do to change the water flow, that water that's coming through Niagara Falls, Or in the Alaska pipeline. As we drove through the Alaska pipeline, we rode beside that a couple hundred miles. It's like 4 foot diameter and it's full of oil and it's flushing out. There's no changing. There's no going in there and pushing something back the other way. It's going that way. And my little illustration is, if we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way with us, Satan will not have his way. If we allow the Holy Spirit to continue pushing us forward, Satan is defeated. Because Jesus said, greater is he that is within me than one that's in this world. So just encouragement. It's nothing, like I said, it's nothing new here for y'all today. But it's just encouragement that we would not allow the things of this world to distract us. As Paul says there in Romans 8, he says that there's nothing. I'll just turn to that. There's nobody can separate him from the love of God. Why was that? We know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, who shall lay anything to my charge in God's elect? Is it God who justifieth? Who is it that commendeth? Is it Christ that died? Yeah, rather, he is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for me? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. As we walk with God and allow the Spirit to maneuver and have his way with us, we are more than conquerors through him. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. As it's possible to poison that big old fountain with poison as it's gushing out of there, it's impossible for Satan as well, if we keep our focus on him and allow the Spirit of God to have his way through us. As Acts 2, Jesus says, I must go. Remember that the verse is there in Acts, so the Comforter can come, the Holy Spirit. The power that the Spirit had when it caused us to get on our knees and to repent from our adultery, our fornication, our hatred, our lying, and many other sins that we enjoyed for many years. As Jesus called us, we answered. And the Holy Spirit entered and gave us power and hatred over the sinful past. The power that took, the power of the Spirit assembled us here this morning, the Holy Spirit. And as long as we stay current and connected to the vine, the Holy Spirit will empower us until the end, as he did many, many before us, as I think of the disciples and our forefathers, Conrad Grebel and Felix Mons and many others. As Felix Mons was sitting there, I think it's Felix Mons or Conrad, I'm not sure which one, that yelled over and told his wife, just a few years, or just a short time, remain faithful, I'll meet you over on the other side. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was not distracted, even with death, even with pain. If we allow the Holy Spirit to reign in our mortal bodies, if we allow the Holy Spirit to govern us with all truth, yes, like the Lord said, whatever you want me to do, as I read that, whatever you want me to say, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. If we are open and honest to the Lord and to Spirit, that whatever it may be, we will hear those words someday, them sweet words, well done, faithful servant, come in. It's what we all want to hear. Let's not let selfish ambitions, let's not let the things of this life. So my encouragement is that we keep the temple clean. So God can dwell in there and use us in a mighty way. We all admit there's much work for us around us to do. But we get busy with work. We get busy with whatever it may be. I said we. And just the past week, I was just thinking on that. There's a whole week went by, which a homeowner wasn't. Normally, I like to meet with the homeowners, but the homeowner didn't come out. But I met with other people, and it seemed like all week long, there was a... I didn't engage into a conversation with an ungodly man or ask him about his sins or point out his sins or just tell him about God. It's because sometimes we get busy with work. Paul says, know you not that we are the temple of the living God. So let's let God have his way with us so they can do the things, whatever he desires with us, that we may bring him glory and honor all the days of our life. And I know I didn't touch on all the fundamentals of the life that needs to be so we can endure. There's been many other things that we could have taught on, but I said I was going to just basically go through, just encourage us to allow the Spirit of God to have free course in our lives. I'm going to read this one more time here. What is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in Christianity. Understood as God's divine personal presence of active power in this world and in the believer's lives, acting as a comforter, a helper, a teacher, and a guide, guiding them into all truth and empowering them to live righteously. Empowering us to live righteously. He is a co-equal and a co-eternal with God and the Father of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit possessing a mind, a will, and emotions, and is involved in creation, inspiration, and salvation. So may God bless you all as we travel on. And I just, if I said anything that was not correct, feel free to come talk to me. So may God bless you as we journey on.